it's about a house divided. And I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir here because this is such a close-knit family. But you know what? It's something that can happen and has happened in a lot of ways. And it's based on the scripture from Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3, where Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself will come to desolation, and a city or a house divided against itself will not stand. When he said these things, he was being accused by the Jewish leadership of that time of casting out demons by Beelzebub. And that's where Jesus said, well, you know, if Satan is working against himself, how can he prosper? How can he survive? And apparently the point he was trying to make to them was, hey, you know, if you're working against God, you know, how can you survive? Since the beginning of time, that's been the problem. Is man has been divided against God and divided against himself. And the problems of this world are based mainly on that. Even the kingdom of God was divided when Satan rebelled against God. You know, he wanted to be God. So there was rebellion in heaven. And Satan and his angels were cast out. And where'd they go? They came here. And of course wanted to do the same thing here. Cause division. So Jesus was telling not just the Jewish leadership there, but the people who were at the synagogue, that division causes desolation. So I'd like to look at some of the times through history where these things happened. The kingdom of heaven will never come to desolation. Our King and our God is in complete control. But the kingdoms of men have come to desolation right from the beginning when, you know, Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. They went from paradise to a cursed earth. And it all continued from there. Cain and Abel. When Cain offered his sacrifice and, you know, it wasn't accepted by God because it wasn't the proper sacrifice. He took it out on his brother Abel. And when God called him into account for it, you know, he said, "Who, you know, am I my brother's keeper?" Because of pride, because of selfishness, sin came into the world, and it manifested itself there. Cain, you know, wanted to know, hey, why isn't my sacrifice as good as his? You know, I worked just as hard to grow these things as he did to raise those animals. But it wasn't about what his works, you know, were. It was about what God required. And that's what differentiated Cain from Abel, was that Abel brought what God required. Cain brought what, you know, he thought God should accept. So, again, there was a division in the family because of that. And because of that, you know, Cain's descendants, Nimrod, on down the line, built the Tower of Babel. God had to come down and divide all of mankind into different languages, so that they wouldn't be one in revolt against him. And it seems, you know, amazing that Adam and Eve, who lived in the garden with God and knew fellowship with God and still had fellowship with God, but that after they had Seth and all their descendants, that it still came to the point where God had to destroy all of mankind. that the descendants of Seth even got caught up in all the wickedness. It said that they began to call on the name of the Lord, but apparently they all got sucked into it except for 8 people that God saved. And when you know, to the time of the great flood, Noah and his family, they when the flood receded, it said that Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk on the wine, and one of his sons did something that was obviously repulsive to Noah and to God, and Noah had to put a curse on his own son. Why? Because his son, in his self-centeredness, his self lust, caused a division in the family. The descendants of Ham eventually became the enemies of Israel, the children of God. So and it just kept progressing and progressing on down through after the Tower of Babel, when God divided everybody's language and they all split up and went in different directions. He called Abraham to go to the land that he would show him. And Abraham was obedient. He was a little hesitant along the way, but he made it. He and his nephew, after they had gone down to Egypt and they had acquired a lot of livestock and wealth and had come back into the land that God had showed them, well, their herdsmen were fighting amongst each other, so they couldn't stay together because of their wealth. They had to split up. Lot wound up in Sodom. And, of course, we all know what happened from there. He got kidnapped. Abraham went and rescued him and brought him back. And the amazing thing was that he went back to Sodom. And because of that, Lot's sons, when the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they thought he was kidding. They laughed at him. So 3 of his sons were destroyed when the cities were destroyed. Just because Lot chose to go into the Jordan Valley, where the grazing was way better than where they were staying. You know, he looked at the valley and saw that it was green and lush and it was a good place for grazing. And Abraham said, yeah, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Or you go to the left, I'll go to the right. I just don't want to fight and argue with you. I want us to be family. And Lot went that way, and he wound up getting sucked into the sin of, well, he didn't get sucked in, but his family did. And it cost his sons their lives. He got out of there with his 2 daughters. His wife, even, when the angels told him to leave, her heart was still there. Her heart was divided between her family and the place she had just left. She wanted to stay in Lot. She was comfortable there. And it cost her her life. And it cost that family, the girls, their mother, and it cost Lot his wife, because her heart was divided. Went on to even Jacob and Esau. Saw what happened there. Esau was hungry. Jacob was a good cook. So I can almost identify with Esau there, because, you know, when you're hungry. But anyway, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And it caused a big division between him and his brother, to the point where Jacob, took the birthright when Isaac was ready to give out the blessing on Esau, Jacob took his place while he was out hunting. And that angered Esau to the point where he wanted to kill his brother. So his brother fled. And of course, you know the story from there. He went to his uncle's house. His uncle deceived him, wound up with two wives instead of one. But from those two wives and their handmaidens, the 12 tribes of Israel were born. And then, even then, we see that there was division in the family when Jacob, who was then named Israel, played favorites. Joseph was his favorite son, so you know he made a coat of many colors for him. He treated him better than his older sons. And they resented that. And they resented their father somewhat because of that. And to the point where Joseph wound up thrown in a pit and sold to the Ishmaelites. And even though the Bible tells us that, you know, his brothers meant it for evil, God meant it for good. But his brothers did mean it for evil. Later we see they repented and they became family again. Thank God that he can heal those rifts. So it just continues on all through the history of Israel. I love, you know, that God gave us the Old Testament. There's a lot of stuff in there that it's hard to get through, but there are so many examples in there that God wants us to see of who he is and how he, you know, he deals with mankind. All these things that caused division, God, some of them were healed. Some of them caused great trouble, great pain and sorrow. But there was great fruit on the other end of it. And he said he gave us the scriptures as an example of who he is and how he's able to fix those things. So after Joseph, you know, they came out of Israel. I mean, they came out of Egypt. God delivered them from Egypt. Even on the way to the promised land, Korah and his family, they rebelled against Moses and told him, say, hey, you know, who are you? Take all this upon yourself. You know, we're, you know, God loves us too, and we should have some say in what goes on here. And, well, Moses said, okay, we'll let God choose. And he did. But because they revolted against Moses and Aaron, the men that God had chosen, God caused the earth to open up and swallow them. And there's part of Israel gone. These men, you know, they rebelled against God. A kingdom divided. And when the other people saw what God had done, they were afraid. They said, you know. It was a good fear to have, though, to see what God, how God deals with rebellion. I'm glad his covenant with us is not quite as severe, but the end is still the same. You know, those who choose to trust and follow him, well, we're going to the promised land. We have been promised a place that he's prepared for us. And for those who hear and understand and reject, well, hell is going to open up and swallow them. That broke the Lord's heart to even think that, but he had to warn them. And we, you know, that's what all of the New Testament writers were doing since the time Jesus was risen from the dead and went to heaven, have been warning us against these things, that man has been making the same mistake from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. And we still need to be reminded of these things. From the looks on your faces, I'm sorry I'm the one that has to do that today. But it is something we need to be reminded of. Again, like I said, I think here We don't have that problem right now. I'm praying we never do. As we look at some things, as long as we remember them, that won't happen. And that's why Jesus, again, was here telling them, warning them against the divided house. When God brought them to the promised land, and they sent the 12 people in to spy out the land, and they went in, they looked around, they came back with, you know, a huge cluster of grapes, and 10 of them, you know, when Moses asked for the report, 10 of them, he said, you know, they said, we can't go in there. I mean, there's giants in there. They'll squash us like bugs. But Joshua and Caleb said, hey, you know, God promised us this land. This is ours. I say we go and take it. So a division right there. 2-4, 10 against. And I guess apparently majority ruled. They didn't go in. The 10 who rejected God's promise convinced the rest of the nation that they shouldn't go in, that God wasn't big enough to protect them. So God told them, hey, I'm sorry to do this, but you're going to wander around in the desert until this generation dies, and then I'll bring your children into this land, all except for Joshua and Caleb, who believed him and trusted him. And when they finally did come into the land, Joshua and Caleb were just as spry and young as they were when God wanted to bring them in the first time. So God kept his promise. Unfortunately, he had to keep it to their children. They wandered around in the desert until they were all, until they all died in the desert. They didn't want to go into the land that God promised them. And that's what happens, you know, when they couldn't agree. I mean, I'm sure Moses was trying to convince them, you know, hey, God promised us this land. He said that, you know, he made an everlasting covenant with Abraham that land would belong to him and his descendants. So, but 10 of them, when they saw the giants, their minds were changed. The giants were bigger in their eyes than their God. When David became king of Israel, he had, well, at least two wives, but Absalom and Amnon were two of his sons. And Absalom's sister Tamar was a beautiful woman, and Amnon loved her. But apparently, I don't know, she wasn't as much in love with him. He forced her to lay with him. We call that rape today. And his father David, when he heard about it, neglected to do anything about it, which caused Absalom to become very angry with his brother and his father and plotted to kill his brother. And he did so. And when he did, he fled. David didn't go after him. But you see the division there. When Absalom came back, he conspired against his father and usurped the kingdom out of his hands. He won the hearts of the people. He waited at the gate of the city. He came and said, oh, my father's too busy. What's your problem? I can handle it. Until the people put their trust in him. And David had to flee the city. When David refused to discipline his son, it caused his two sons to hate each other, caused division, caused him to have to flee from his own kingdom. When he came back, the people that brought him back, there were people who were jealous that, hey, why didn't you call us? And we could have brought him back too. All they were thinking about was, hey, you know, what about us? What about, you know, instead of the whole kingdom. They weren't concerned about that. So they said, oh, okay, we have no part in David. You know, we're out of here. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, I think it was. Yeah. his son after Solomon died. The people came to him and said, you know, your father put a burden on us. You know, he worked us hard. He took all of our stuff. You know, if you'll take it easier on us, you know, we'll be loyal to you. So he called his father's counselors and asked what they thought, and then he called his friends and asked what they thought. And his friends apparently thought that he should work them harder, be tougher on them. And his father's counselors thought that they should, you know, he should listen to them. But he took his friend's advice, which caused 10 tribes of the nation of Israel to leave, to say, you know, the nation split in two. 10 tribes in the northern kingdom and 2 tribes in the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. So the whole nation was divided because, you know, Rehoboam wanted to control, you know, he wanted the power to control people. And it caused 10 nations, 10 tribes to rebel against him and move. And that's bad enough, but what happened because of that is even worse. The king of the 10 tribes, Jeroboam, didn't want those 10 tribes to go back to Jerusalem to worship because he was afraid that they would, you know, go back under Rehoboam's reign. So he set up golden calves. One in the north, you know, one up north, and one in the southern part of the northern kingdom, and told them, said, "These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of Egypt." And he caused them to worship idols. And we know how God feels about that.